The Federal Trade Commission is supposed to have 5 members. After last year's resignation by Joshua Wright and last month's resignation by Julie Brill, it's down to 3, a situation that's not likely to change until the next president is elected. Peter Levitas is a former deputy director in the FTC's Competition Bureau, now a partner in the antitrust practice at the law firm Arnold & Porter. He tells Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu the FTC is unlikely to change its policies despite being shorthanded. But a 3-member commission does present some challenges.
The commission has several missions. It has several different missions. It's got an antitrust and competition mission. It's got a consumer protection mission. And it also has a policy function where it does policy work that focuses on mostly competition issues, but also on consumer protection issues, especially privacy, big data, and that sort of thing. And you've seen the same focus from the FTC over the last number of years, and I think you'll continue to see that focus on the consumer protection side. There will be a lot of focus on privacy and a lot of focus on how to work with data in terms of letting businesses use data, letting consumers gain the benefits of big data, but also protect consumers in terms of how that data is used and how that would affect their privacy. And on the competition side, you will continue to see a lot of work on healthcare, a lot of work on high tech, a lot of work on really anything that seems to have a big consumer impact. But those have been areas of focus, and I would anticipate that those will continue to be areas of focus. That's been consistent really through recent administrations, Democratic and Republican, and I don't think that you'll see any change just because Julie's left now. That's been a pretty consistent interest of all the commissioners for the last number of years.
Even if there's not a change in focus, how much of that agenda was set by Julie Brill specifically, and would you expect the commission to pursue those tracks at least less forcefully now that she's not there?
I wouldn't say that any of the agenda was set by Julie in particular. As I said, I think that these are agenda items that are really driven by the market, and it's that the commission is responding to the market. And I think that if you look at the history of the Federal Trade Commission, at least in recent times, I think there's been a strong and broad bipartisan consensus on the sorts of things the commission should be doing. Where there are sometimes disagreements, it's about how the commission should pursue those goals and exactly what enforcement actions the commission should take and what policy approaches the commission should take. And in that regard, Julie was certainly on the very pro-enforcement end of the spectrum. She was a very pro-enforcement commissioner, not just on privacy and consumer protection issues, but on antitrust and competition issues as well. I don't think it changes the votes necessarily. You know, there were on rare occasion where Julie would dissent, just that there were rare occasion where any other commissioner might dissent. But in general, for the most part, really, the commissioners, almost all the votes, if you look at them, are actually unanimous bipartisan votes. And on the rare occasions when there are disagreements, Julie was generally voting for an enforcement action. And in a situation where you have a Democratic majority, which tends to be all voting, they generally are voting together at the end of the day. Julie wasn't usually changing votes, but her position was very pro-enforcement. And I think that changed the dynamic of consent negotiations, and I think probably at the margins affected the way some of the outcomes. So I think without her there, you might see a slightly different dynamic in some consent negotiations. You might see a slightly different dynamic in terms of the outcomes of some of those consents. So I think it'll make a difference. It's a little hard to know in any particular case if it would have made a difference or not. But I would think, over the course of some number of months or a year, it is probably the case that Julie being gone will have some impact on some matters, at least at the margins.
Yeah, I guess one thing I wonder is, to the extent that you have a more or less vigorous approach to enforcement, how much is that driven by the commissioners themselves versus the staff?
Well, I think the commissioners all think that it's driven by them, and the staff all thinks that it's driven by the staff. And the answer, of course, as you can imagine, is really a little bit of both. The staff are doing, 98% of the work, as they are in any organization. They're the ones out there doing the investigations. They are the ones out there gathering the facts and assessing the evidence. And they're the ones presenting to the management at the Bureau, in both the Bureau of Consumer Protection and the Bureau of Competition, and then up to the commissioners. The staff's the one that's presenting the case. They're the boots on the ground, and they're the ones who do the work. But the management and the commissioners are the ones who set the agenda, and they are the ones who decide if they want to reach a little bit further and push a little bit harder in a certain area, or if they want to step back and they want to and they want to not push in a certain area, or they want to push in a slightly different direction. So the policy is really being set from the top, and in the hard cases and the close calls and at the margins, those policy decisions are coming down from the top and being implemented by the staff at those levels. I mean, we would have discussions when I was there, and this was not uncommon, with the staff about whether or not a certain matter was, you know, too aggressive in a certain area or not aggressive enough. And that kind of decision and that kind of discussion is driven by the views of the commissioners. And the commissioners have different views on that sort of thing. And, you know, the sort of Julie's view on that kind of thing might be different than another commissioner's. And the flavor of the commission and the composition of the commission, you know, over time dictates the sort of cases that come out of the commission. And, you know, there's prosecutorial discretion on all of this stuff. And again, 90-95% of the cases will be the same with any Federal Trade Commission group of commissioners. Any five reasonable commissioners, any five rational actors will bring all of the same cases 95% of the time. But that 5 or 10% of the cases where it's, you know, the 5 or 10% of the cases where different commissioners have different views are, you know, at the margins in terms of their different policy views and their different policy imperatives that they bring to the table, that's where you see a difference in from one commission to another, from one commissioner to another. And I think that's where the views of the commissioners and their policy views really make an impact.
In this case, even if the balance of ideologies or priorities hasn't really changed by virtue of losing these two commissioners, what are just the practical implications of only having three commissioners? How does that impact meetings? How does that impact just the mechanics of how the commission operates?
There are a number of ways in which it matters day to day. First of all, I think just in pure terms of pure math, there used to be five commissioners who could go out and give speeches and take on policy projects and just do the work of the commission, going to hearings on the Hill, meeting with colleagues in international enforcement agencies, writing articles. And now, then they were down to four, now they're down to three. It's just fewer people to do some of the work of the commission, you know, some of which has to be done at the level of the commissioners as opposed to the staff. So I think you'll likely see fewer speeches, fewer meetings with members of the bar, fewer meetings with business organizations. I think just as a practical matter, you know, three is less than five, and so they just won't be able to do quite as much of that kind of work as they had been doing. And also, I think as a practical matter and also just as a matter of protocol and etiquette, I don't think it's likely that the commission will feel that they should be making bold new policy initiatives in a situation where they only have three commissioners. That's not to say that they won't continue to do policy work and continue to work on their policy agenda. I'm sure that they will do that. It just seems unlikely that they will be interested in you know, making a lot of headlines on new initiatives right now in a situation where they only have three instead of five commissioners. I mean, I think that remains to be seen, but it seems to me likely that they won't want to be very bold for a little while. And then in terms of process, the Sunshine Act, I think, will create a little bit of an impediment to the way they do business generally. So the Sunshine Act is a transparency law, for lack of a better word, which basically says that any time a quorum of commissioners is together discussing a substantive issue, that needs to be publicly noticed in a week in advance. So those meetings can be private. They don't have to be open to the public. But before a quorum of commissioners can get together to discuss a matter of official business, they need to notice it a week in advance. And the idea behind this was that they didn't want three commissioners from the same party to get together in private rump sessions, cut their deal, make a decision on what the commission was going to do without anyone else around, and then just get together at whatever public meeting they had or whatever official meeting they had and then rubber stamp it later. And, you know, in normal times with five commissioners, that means that three commissioners can't get together to do that. But now with only three commissioners, two commissioners is a voting quorum, which means that Commissioner Olhausen and Chairwoman Ramirez can't go to each other's office and just talk about a case now, because then they will be forming a quorum. They can't do that without, you know, 1 week notice in a public notice that they're going to get together and talk. So that's awkward. I think Commissioner McSweeney was quoted last week at the ABA antitrust spring meeting as saying something along the lines of, it's hard to reach an agreement with someone when you can't talk to them. And that's certainly true. It's awkward, and it's not, I don't think, what the drafters of the Sunshine Act had in mind. At the end of the day, the commission will still be able to function. You know, as we've discussed, the staff does a tremendous amount of the work here, and the commissioners have individual staffers that work for them. The staffers all know each other. Many of the staffers who work for the commissioners used to work in the Bureau of Competition and the Bureau of Consumer Protection. They all know each other. It's a small agency. These folks all work together very closely. So there's no lack of communication between the offices and the staff at the Bureau level. And so everyone's talking all the time. But there still is, you know, a loss when you can't have the principals speak with each other except in a formal meeting. It's an inconvenience at least, and I think it will probably slow things down a little bit. So they're going to have to come up with a way to work around it. You know, I said much of this can be done via the staff, but it's not as good. It's certainly not as good as if you had another commissioner there and that two commissioners could speak whenever they would want to.
The last thing we should mention, Peter, is that it's pretty unlikely that either one of these two vacant seats are going to get filled before the next president takes office. Assuming that's the case, and I think that's probably a pretty safe bet, talk a bit about how the commission starts to get back up to its full five-member strength once the next president takes office and kind of what those scenarios look like.
The dynamics at the commission, you know, will be certainly affected by who's the next president. And I think that the fact that we only have three commissioners now might lead to a little bit of an odd situation. So the president obviously has the right to name the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, and in any new administration, you would expect that the president might want to appoint a new chair. Certainly that would be true in this instance if a Republican were to win the White House. So if that happens, we would expect Commissioner Olhausen as the only sitting Republican commissioner to be named chair. That might be permanent, or it might be until another chair was nominated and confirmed, depending on what the president wanted to do. But in that situation, we'd have Commissioner Olhausen now as the chair of the FTC. But those two seats being open leads to a little bit of an odd outcome. Commissioner Ramirez would no longer be the chair, and it coincidentally her term as commissioner has actually expired, but she could continue to serve as a commissioner until her replacement is confirmed. So in that situation, the Democrats would have a 2-to-1 majority, even though the chair would be a Republican, which could lead to some potentially odd outcomes. Or if Chairwoman Ramirez just resigned, then you'd have a 1-to-1 commission potentially, or a two-person commission, one Democrat, one Republican, where effectively, both the chairwoman and Commissioner McSweeney would just have a veto. Because you can't do anything at 1-to-1. You would have to have a 2-to-nothing vote. And again, who knows how long this would take to sort out. These positions routinely take some number of months to fill. The FTC is an important agency, but it's not usually the first priority for a new administration to fill. And you could be looking at a situation where you've got, maybe three seats to fill. And I'm not positive how long that takes to sort out, especially if potentially you have a Democratic Senate. And a Republican president, it could lead to a difficult situation for the FTC with not that many seats filled for an extended period of time.
That's Peter Levitas, former deputy director in the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Competition, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. We'll post a link to his commentary on the changing composition of the FTC at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.